This is Inside the Hall.
Double tight ends. Francis right wing. The give comes to Cunningham. He hurdles up and in. Touchdown! There, man. Schaefer Stadium explodes.
Inside the Hall. A look inside the past.
Back to pass. Looking for Francis. Nobody there. Now he shoots over the middle. He's open. Touchdown! Darryl Stingley! Darryl Stingley hauls it in.
Present.
He's going to go the distance. 20, 15, 10, 5, Lawrence Maroney.
And future of the New England Patriots.
With the 18th pick in the first round, the New England Patriots select.
Now, Inside the Hall with Brian Morey and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Tippett.
Good afternoon and welcome to the inaugural edition of Inside the Hall at Patriot Place, or Inside the Hall, as the case may be. Each Tuesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. We'll be on the air here. Brian Morey, Andre Tippett.
Andre Tippett
is not here for this first Tuesday afternoon. Instead, it is Andy Hart and Mike Parenti from Patriots Football Weekly pulling the all-nighter here on Patriots.com Radio. Tip could not be with us today. He is down at Matt Light's Celebrity Shootout in Mapleville, Rhode Island, helping to raise money for the Matt Light Foundation. So we'll give him a pass today. He's got a pretty good excuse.
Lots of linemen, football players with guns. I don't know who allowed that
charity. Bad combination.
Hey, the third annual?
Lots of great food at that event, though, by the way. Great catering job last year.
That I expect from an offensive
line. You've covered this in the past. I've never been to the Matt Light Celebrity Shootout.
It was catered by Capital Grill.
Nice.
Mini thin steaks for sandwiches, burgers. Ooh. Other assorted goodies.
Aged meat. Nice. No, that's very good. But we are going to spend the next hour talking about, we'll touch on Tom Brady here a little bit. I know you guys have talked about it pretty much all afternoon. But just, I wanted to talk about it with Tip if he was going to be here today, because back in, 87? He missed an entire season when he was injured in the preseason, and just get his thoughts on that. But, I think, first of all, the Hall at Patriot Place opens next week. The ribbon cutting is Thursday, September 18th, opens to the public on Monday the 22nd. But next weekend will be a huge weekend, guys, for the Hall. It is the inaugural induction weekend, and all 11 living Patriots Hall of Famers will be back in town starting Friday night for a dinner at the Hall at Patriot Place, followed by a Saturday induction ceremony in the plaza, open to the public and free of charge. Now, I should point out that the Hall itself will not be open to the public that day. The ceremony outside, where the players receive their red blazers, similar to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, when they get those ugly yellow blazers, they're going to get ugly red blazers here at the Hall at Patriot Place with a nice patch on them. Very nice. Custom made by Regan Clothier. Very, very nice jackets. But it should be a great afternoon, and Gil Santos will be here to emcee it. And I think it's going to be an event that the public will really enjoy, guys, because this could be really the only time that all 11 players are able to make it back on the same weekend. I mean, even Nick Bonaconte's coming. And, Nick Bonaconte, a guy who spent the first half of his career as a Patriot in the 60s during the AFL days, but is really known more as a Miami Dolphin. And in fact, when he confirmed that he was coming, he kind of made a sarcastic joke that we planned it for the Miami Dolphins weekend on purpose so he could have to be honored at halftime in his red blazer on Dolphins weekend, which we did not do, incidentally. But so it should be a great weekend, and I'm sure Patriots Football Weekly will be here in full force covering the event.
I don't think there's any question about it. But
oh, yes, we
more
will.
Important, so four Pro Football Hall of Famers.
That's
within
correct.
The group of 11 Patriots Hall of Famers.
That's correct, yes. Obviously, Tip and John Hanna, Mike Haynes, Nick Bonaconte being the four Pro Football Hall of Famers. And, obviously Tip and Hanna being the two guys that were career Patriots, even Mike Haynes. I mean, it's kind of an interesting distinction because both of those guys, Bonaconte and Haynes, essentially played half their careers here. But yet, because they went on and won championships elsewhere, they're really identified with those other teams, the Raiders and Dolphins. But they are Patriots Hall of Famers. We certainly consider them New England Patriots, and they will be part of the weekend. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I think for fans to come out and be able to see that, it's going to be sort of an informal type setting in that you won't have 11 different Hall of Famers getting up to give speeches. We didn't think that would be the most entertaining day. We're not sure the players want to do that. For example, the 2008 inductee, Ben Coates, actually prefers not to give a speech.
Oh, he's not speaking?
Well, he'll speak, but not in a speech setting. The way the day will work out is Gil Santos
texting
is
texting it.
It's sort of like if you've
we know he will eventually speak, just not to anybody else.
If you've been to the tradition, well, that would go in line with his playing days. But the
guy's going in the Hall of Fame. He's taking shots.
That's all right. If you've
been official Hall show,
if you've been to the tradition, which is the Sports Museum of New England's event,
like no other,
what they do is they bring the guys the honoree up, and then they have like a short Q&A with them. Gil Santos, who's emceeing the event, will actually conduct Q&As with the players in groups of three, with the exception of Ben Coates, who'll probably be just with Bruce Armstrong. They'll be the last two. What we did was we grouped them in threes by sort of their era. So they'll be with guys they played with, like, for example, Bonaconte, Cappelletti, and Babe Parilli will sit together with Gil after they've gotten their Blazers, and they'll sit, and Gil will ask them questions. And you'll get some really great anecdotes and some stories. I think it's going to be a little more entertaining than it would otherwise be if you had 11 guys just giving up and giving a thank you speech.
Yeah, it's good to have three guys sit together and kind of share stories back and forth.
Right.
And have
exactly.
A little back and forth there going on.
Now,
like
from
that
a
idea.
Fan's perspective, where is this going to take place exactly on the premises, and what will the fan viewpoint be?
Well, that's a great question, Andy. There'll be 1,000 chairs set up in front in the plaza between the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon and the CBS scene.
Okay.
So you have that field turf out there now. The chairs will be set up right there. There'll be an aisle down the middle. The players are actually having a private luncheon just for players, the Hall of Famers, and one guest before the ceremony. They'll then walk down a red carpet in between the chairs, so down a center aisle, down to the front row. 500 chairs will be reserved, 500 chairs open to the public, but then the whole plaza is open to the public. The grand staircase of Patriot Place sits there.
So you can walk right around and watch everything.
Absolutely.
The CBS scene, you can be up on the balcony.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I believe we'll have a giant video board set up so people that are further away and don't have a great view of the stage necessarily will be able to see it. And I think we're trying to get the Detronics board that is part of CBS scene to actually show the ceremony as well. So it should be a great event for Patriots fans, for the public. Like I said, could be a once-in-a-lifetime type event here where all the living Hall of Famers are back. And I think it's going to be a fun weekend altogether. They will have a reception after the event. That's for alumni and friends and whatnot. And then Sunday, the players will be honored, I believe, at halftime of the Miami Dolphins game. So a great weekend for Patriots fans and certainly Patriots historians. And it's all part of what is going to be a building, guys, that I don't know if you've been in the building much at all, but the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon is really going to be an interactive venue. Not your typical quote-unquote museum. I think, you know, we almost try to avoid the word. And it's really more, I mean, I guess you'd call it a modern museum, 21st century museum, really interactive, technology-driven. And the Hall of Fame pylons are probably the best example of that, using a technology called Digital Ink. It's a company out of Israel called Majink. And these pylons are 30 feet high, guys, and they show video of the Hall of Famers in these pylons. It's a very impressive and unique way to display and honor the Hall of Famers, as opposed to plaques or busts, as you see in Canton. And we do have an element of that on the wall in that Hall of Fame gallery. Will be frosted glass plaques with every player's name and number that's in the hall. But the pylons, you'll have a touchscreen kiosk in front. You can select from any of the 13 Hall of Famers in the kiosk. Then what comes up on the kiosk in front of you would be bio information. You can access statistical information. You can also watch a one-minute highlight video of the player in the kiosk itself. Meanwhile, in the pylon, when you first select a player, his name and number will shoot up the pylon. Then you'll get some still imagery and some video without audio, obviously, in the pylon. The audio will come from the highlight video in the kiosk. And those pylons are visible from pretty much any place in the museum. You can see them on the second floor. You can see them on the third floor. And you can see them from the pro shop. So it's a pretty cool feature. And they're double-sided, so people out in the plaza can also see the pylons. They will not watch what the visitor at the kiosk sees. Instead, there'll be a 10-minute loop of different Hall of Famers and great players at different positions and great coaches and some great plays that kind of go across all four pylons that the viewers outside the hall will be able to see. And, of course, that's going to make them want to come in and visit the hall.
Well, you mentioned some interactive exhibits, and I heard something about reliving the Adam Vinatieri snowball
game. Ooh, it's cold.
Yeah.
I want to hear about this because it sounds really cool.
Burr.
This is something that's a pretty neat idea. Certainly wasn't mine. Came before I got here.
Because it's a good one.
That's right. And what happens is you'll walk into it's a geodesic dome.
And I like those.
Yeah, you like those? You know what those are?
All made up out of triangles.
Right. Exactly.
Well, oh, like the golf dome?
Tufts education comes in handy.
I'm a smart fella.
It's like the indoor golf
I'm smart.
Shooting
It's like,
range.
You know what, the playground, those things you can climb up?
Yes.
It's like
okay,
that. Only it's almost a full circle. And it surrounds this peninsula. It's actually visible from the pro shop. You look up, you see this big white dome.
There's three sides of water?
no water. But if you step off the side, you'd fall into the pro shop.
Okay,
there's a glass railing there,
really?
So you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
But no, the dome is covered in white, and what happens is when you walk in, there's cold air blowing into the dome from both sides of you, and you have snow projected on the walls around you, and you have a projection screen that contours the dome, and you get about a 4.5-minute show on the snowball game. That's really well produced. Cortina Productions out of McLean, Virginia, did all of our audio video content for the hall, and it's a pretty impressive show. And I mean, you've seen a lot of the stuff before, obviously. I mean, you can go up the stairs and watch Three Games to Glory and catch every play from the snowball, but this is, I think, uniquely produced. They did a great job dramatizing the game and the events and using quotes from Tom Brady and Lawyer Malloy. Peter King is in it and talking about how he was in a hotel room in Chicago and couldn't see if the kick was good or not. So you get that perspective on it.
My wife was in like the 30th row and couldn't see whether the kick
exactly.
was good or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was behind the opposite goalpost and really
right,
couldn't
we were
see
on the
either.
Field.
You couldn't
yeah.
see
yeah.
crap.
I was on the field as
it's
well.
It's funny.
Down
I think
media.
Too. I want to go through that, and I should wear the same black shoes I wore that caused me to fall on my ass in the parking lot before the game. Busted my knee up pretty good that night. One of the worst nights of my life.
But a good memory now.
It actually
one of the
it
best
was fun.
Nights in Patriots fans' lives.
Well, it was fun because like we used to have the field access to go to the post game locker room, and we were standing out there. Most of us. I'm not sure if you were out there at the time.
I was indeed.
And you were out there yeah. as well, and so we sat out there, watched the whole Tuck Rule thing unfold from behind the play. Watched
which
the whole
Paul
field.
By the way, said, if they overturn this, I'm going to Vegas.
So it was a cool memory, so it'd be nice to walk into that geodesic dome and relive it all.
And I think, Mike, that it's arguably the greatest game in Foxborough Stadium history.
Yeah,
it was
agree.
The last game, obviously, but certainly if you were going to send that building out, they sent it out on a dramatic
yeah,
note. It had it all. I mean, you got the snow, which, you know, we all grew up in this area, and, you know, when the snow starts falling, you're on the phone with your buddies. Let's go play football.
Right.
I think you add that element into it, and it just was made for television, as Tom Brady says in the piece. And I think that it's going to be an exciting thing. And the snow, obviously that being one of the great moments in Patriots history, there's other things affiliated with it in that area of the museum, which is an exhibit or a gallery called In the Moment. By the way, the field turf there is white. So it looks like there's snow
nice.
On the ground there. And also across from that, you have a kick simulator, sort of like a golf simulator. And you can go across and select from a 45-yard field goal or a 23-yard field goal. Obviously, we've adjusted the difficulty levels. It probably won't be an accurate 45-yard field goal through the snow.
Do you kick
we
a,
want people to be able to actually have a chance at making
right,
it.
You
right.
kick a real ball?
Yes.
Wow.
Nice.
You kick it into
that.
A screen. So
can we
have
do
not
that?
Been invited
can we do
to
this?
Go to the
yeah, when are you
going to
have us over?
We'll have you over.
Okay.
We'll have you. Anytime you guys want to go out there,
sounds
I'll take
like
you out there.
Sounds like when I put $10 down on the counter and buy a ticket.
Nah, I'll take you out there right after the show if you want. I'm going to be here late anyway.
Okay.
So. But I think – and then also, by the way, there's two field review stations in that area or replay booths. And you can go under the hood and you touch the screen and Mike Pereira, the director of officiating, comes on. And he was nice enough to do some recording for us. We went down to New York and filmed him. And he goes through an entire explanation of the Tuck Rule and why it was ruled the way it was and according to the rule book. And then you get to actually review three plays yourself. We have a series of about 15 plays in the computer that come up randomly, and you get to review three plays, decide whether they were should be overturned or upheld, and then Mike Pereira comes back at the end and says, "Ooh, you were 0-3. You
wrong."
Stink.
Sounds like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Yeah, I like
it. Do you overturn this call? No. Patriots lose.
Like those old commercials.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Poor Chad Brown.
Is that what that was about?
Yes.
That's a good. Man. That's a great exhibit, though. That sounds like.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
It's really that whole area starts an area of. I mean, the whole museum is full of interactive and touchscreen kiosks and videos.
You get to hit Teddy Bruschi,
and whatnot.
Right?
You do get, but that's in the next thing. I was just going to get to that. You have
the
next exhibit, which is called Inside the Game, Andy.
Okay.
Is all interactive. You can step inside a huddle. We recorded conversations last year from the Patriots huddle, and now you can step inside, hear Tom Brady, hear Randy Moss, actually having a conversation, you know, the different players that speak in the huddle. And, you know, Brady will come in, call the play. And a lot of it was actually recorded, interestingly enough, during timeouts because there was some music playing in the background, so you know it was during a timeout. So nice. Brady would come in, call the play, and then you'd get some interaction in the huddle. Like, you know, I know one of the things Randy Moss says, because I've listened to this audio a few times, you know, he'll say, hey, the corner on that side isn't pressing or is whatever exactly it was, but make sure that whoever's on that side gets up the rail. And Tom will say, yeah, Dante, get up the rail. And he'll say, Lawrence, you have this in the protection. And then you know, you can tell sometimes when the timeout ends, because Brady just calls the play again, you know, 50, quick out, go, right, Fings, he's slant on two, go, you know, whatever, and they break the huddle. So it's a pretty cool thing that you wouldn't normally get to hear. You also have Josh McDaniels calling plays to the quarterback. We've cut a helmet in half, and we have the actual communication piece that the quarterback has in his helmet, so that the guest of the hall can come in. That will be encased in acrylic. You'll be able to see exactly what it looks like inside the quarterback's helmet, and then we'll have a speaker in there that actually plays Josh McDaniel calling the plays to the quarterback. So that's another pretty unique audio experience that you wouldn't get. We have a bank of three phones. They're the old sideline phones used before the big Motorola boxes were brought in. And you can pick that up and hear Pete Mangurian talking to a player on the sideline. So you get that coaches from the booth to the sideline conversation. There's also some athletic interactives in here, Andy. You can test your vertical leap. Lawrence Maroney actually narrates this, and it's actually funny.
This guy.
He says, let's see how high. Can you jump as high as me, Lawrence Maroney? Let's see. It's pretty funny. And then, you know, you actually tap the wall, you get a readout. You jump, tap the wall again, you get a second readout. And then you get your vertical in inches on the third readout. And then he tells you, you know, like, boy, you jump like Tom Brady, which means not very high, which is probably, you know, a shot at Tom Brady, especially now because he probably can't jump at all.
I was going to say, yeah, right now he's grounded.
But, you know, and then he'll say, wow, yeah, you got a chance to play in the league someday, you know, stuff like that. So it's pretty funny. And then Dan Copen narrated our reaction time exhibit, which is where you get to hit Teddy Bruschi's image in front of you. It's you actually put your hand, you get into a three-point stance with your hand down on a plate, a silver plate or a black plate in front of you, and then Dan Copen gives you a snap count, different cadences. And so when he says hike, you come out and you hit Teddy Bruschi's handprints in front of you. They're actually like up on his shoulder. So you're actually like you're blocking Teddy Bruschi. And it times you from the sensor on the floor to the sensors in the wall.
And what am I shooting for?
The best time of the day.
What does Logan Mankins get?
I haven't seen Logan Mankins come out and do it.
See, I need to have something to judge myself against. I want to know what an all-pro guard gets.
I did it in 2.1, I think, yesterday.
Will I get flagged for jumping the gun and going offside?
Actually, if you go before he says hike, he tells you that you jumped.
Nice.
So it does recognize that.
No cheap shots, Andy.
And we're still working out some of the details on some of this and tweaking it. And hopefully it will be ready to go by the time we're open to the public. But
ready or not,
no. Well, the reason I say that is because if you jump, you start over instead of just right now. Ideally, you get to push the button again and just do it again.
Yeah.
Right now, it takes you back through the, hey, how you doing? I'm Dan Copen. You know, so we're working that part out. But you'd still get to do it again. But, you know, it's just working out the kinks and whatnot. And we're getting there. Also in this, house. You have a scale, a size me up exhibit, big image of Vince Wilfork in front of you.
Ooh, ooh, I don't know if anybody can do that.
You get on the scale, and you can actually, you know, this is a huge scale, so it's actually something that, you know, you have some kids in. The kids could get on and see how many kids it takes to equal Vince, who weighs about 3 1/4.
How'd you get Vince to agree to that?
Vince actually.
That's like casting for the fat woman in a TV show.
Well, Vince actually, you know, when you get on the scale, he makes comments like, ooh, my dinner last night weighed more than you. And then as you get up, you know, and there's an image on a monitor. So it could be an image of a bag of footballs or a cheerleader or Wes Welker all the way up to like a cow. And
so Patriots Football Weekly's own Paul Perillo will be, hey, another nose tackle.
Wow. That's just mean.
I only do it because he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, right. Like you wouldn't do it otherwise. So anyway, you get on the scale, and he actually, Vince, when he was recording this stuff, made a comment because the last one is, did I just hear a spring come loose? And he looks at me and goes, you guys are mean. But I would expect that not too many people are going to get that one. But your weight does show up as well. So if you're sensitive, you're probably not getting on the
that
scale.
That would be a reach up and hold your hand over it.
That would be an all-male exhibit, I believe.
Yes, I don't think there'll be a lot of ladies getting on to see what Vince has to say about them.
Yeah, probably not.
You hear a mooing
sound. And then another couple highlights of the Inside the Game Gallery, guys. You have three lockers, exact replicas of what the Patriots lockers look like. There'll be Brady, Harrison, and Seymour. They'll have their full uniform and equipment in there so people can get in and try it on and you know, get ready for game day, I guess. And then there's also the Bill Belichick playbook exhibit. And Coach Belichick took a lot of time and recorded 26 different segments with us. Wow. Going through the playbook on the Telestrator. Some of them are specific plays. Some of them are more generic situations. For example, you can come up and you actually touch the touchscreen. You can flip through the playbook. And he recorded 26. We'll probably include about 10 at a time in the kiosk so we can keep it fresh. And so when people return, you know, that may be getting a different experience with Coach Belichick. But, you know, like, for example, he's one of the plays was 64 special. And so he'll come on the screen and say, hi, you've selected 64 special. This is a staple play in our offense and has been since I arrived here in 2000. We like this play because it gives us a lot of flexibility against different defenses. Here it is against Buffalo's cover two, and he gets the Telestrator out and he shows you why, you know, shows you the cover two and why Brady ends up throwing the ball where he did. Then he says, here's the same play against San Diego's cover two and how San Diego played it a little differently and why Brady went somewhere else with the ball. And then on that particular play, he actually shows a third scenario, I think against the Jets, and he shows you a different place they went with the ball. And the point is to show you that the same play call can have vastly different results, not just in the yardage gained, but on the quarterback's decision and what he does with the football. So even though it's the same play, you have different results depending on what the defense does. And as Bill says, quote, that's football, is, you know, reacting to what the defense does and being able to account for that.
I can see Mangini in his sunglasses and mustache of that exhibit taking notes. Okay, 65 special.
And I gave him a hard time after because it seemed like a lot of the plays were Jets or Colts plays. I don't know if that was planned or not. But
no, I'm sure it was coincidence.
No, but it is a really cool thing. And I think that's one of those things that obviously football aficionados are going to love. But the kids who play Madden football, and that's the one thing. Kids who play Madden football are going to come in and understand this stuff,
right?
Because they understand
have to for that dumb game.
Yeah, I mean they
it's
understand
not Tecmo
it more
anymore
than most.
Where I can just go bow, right? All those games have like ridiculous playbooks.
It's
yeah,
too
but
hard.
All you got to do,
hard.
But all you have to do is look at make sure it's a run play.
Oh, I know, but I miss the days where it was bow right and
anymore.
Bow left.
Well, in Tecmo Bowl, it was. I mean, Bo Wright was a touchdown every time.
Exactly. That's why I liked the game. It was fun.
That's fun?
Because you won.
Yes.
That's why it was fun.
I don't want competition. I want fun.
But no, I think to get back to your point, though, about how you said this is not just a museum, the fact that there are so many interactive exhibits for kids to enjoy, because kids won't really go to a museum per se, but they'll come to something like this where they can do their vertical leap or get on a scale and have some fun.
And I think that, you know, we're also targeting school groups, guys, for field trips. We're putting together a framework-based education curriculum with lesson plans. Paul Carroll, who's our education coordinator, reaching out to educators all over the state right now, and we'll kind of branch out from there. We have some school groups already booked to come up from Rhode Island and around Massachusetts. We've invited the Foxborough schools for the first year to come in for free. as a gesture to the town, which obviously we have a great relationship with. And so we think it's going to be something that the kids really enjoy, and we want it to be something that the teachers really feel like was a beneficial experience educationally and for the kids. And I think, you know, for them, it's a way to get the kids out of the classroom. Why does my phone keep ringing? I should probably turn that on.
Why not shut it off?
Well, I didn't, and I was just hitting the button to ignore.
Vibrate.
But the it's going to be something that it's really a place for people of all ages, and I think everybody will get something out of it. You could spend an hour and a half in here. You could spend 4.5 hours in here. There's more than 100 videos that you could watch. We have a 15-minute signature film that really designed to connect the fan and the region to the team and evoke some of the emotion of a lot of the near misses in Patriots history, culminating in a Super Bowl championship back in 2001.
Now, where do you watch that?
In a 150-seat theater, 45-foot wide screen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's going to be a very powerful film. I've had some people in there. We had some of our part-time employees, our guest services staff, come in last week. And after they watched it, and they watched it with like there was still a lift in the hall kind of blocking one of the projectors a little bit. You know, it wasn't an ideal setting, but they got a sense of it. And I came down and I said, what do you think? And one of the women said, I'm going to cry. She was so emotional about it. So I think that fans are going to – it's going to be one of those things that gives you goosebumps and gives you chills and whatnot, and takes you through, gives you a sense of Patriots history, even though the purpose of it is not necessarily to be historical. It does have a timeline element from the standpoint of taking you through the near misses and the disappointments in Patriots history. And then obviously, you know, there's a big focus on 2001 and the dramatic plays in that season, be Adam's snowball kick or the Tuck Rule play or obviously some plays in the Super Bowl and that final drive and whatnot. So, I mean, I think this place is going to be something that fans, when they come in, they know that we're building this thing down here. They know that the hall is part of this Patriot Place project. I don't think they realize how cool it's going to be. It's not, like I said, a static museum. It's going to be a place that is constantly updating and changing that people will want to come back to. There will be some static element to it, obviously. The final exhibit on the second floor will house the 3 Vince Lombardi trophies. So, you know, you'll be able to get your picture with the trophies, which I think is sort of a thrill. And there'll also be some surprises along the way as well, some pretty neat little features that I'll keep a secret for now. But the AFC Championship trophies are all there.
Lamar Hunt trophy.
Yes, all the Super Bowl rings fans will be able to see those, as well as the AFC Championship ring. Steve Nelson has loaned us his AFC Championship ring from 1985. Doug Flutie, we have a New England football exhibit, which is not Patriots related, by the way. This is an amateur football type exhibit. Not amateur, but New England football history beyond the Patriots.
High school, college, all that, right?
Yeah, and oh, also,
that's pretty cool.
But
yeah.
Providence Steamroller, that's why I say it's not just amateur. The Providence Steamroller in 1928 were the first New England team to win an NFL championship, and they were disbanded about 4 years later.
Hope this includes the Providence Steamrollers of the Arena Football League.
It does not really include much on the Steamrollers of
they
the Arena Football
League. They played at the Dunkin' Donuts Center for a couple of years. My dad took me to a game once. I still have a hat and a program.
Good you
story.
Do?
You
well,
can
maybe,
actually look
I think
up.
You should donate
maybe
that to
you
the hall.
Donate it to
that.
The museum.
You can,
exactly.
You can actually look up online. They have an Arena Football League history, and they have the names of the players from those Providence Steamrollers teams from the 80s.
Really?
Yeah,
I guess
it's pretty
I
neat.
Wouldn't recognize a single
no.
name.
A lot of them are local, but it was still a pretty
well,
cool little thing.
And this exhibit is cool in terms of some of the artifacts that we do have. Doug Flutie has loaned us his Heisman Trophy. The Pine family out of Milford is a 3-generation NFL family. George Pine played for the Providence Steamroller back in 1931-32. George Pine II played for the Boston Patriots briefly, and then Jim Pine retired more recently. He played with 4 or 5 teams, mostly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Pines also have 2 other sons that played locally and collegiately. One played at Holy Cross, the other at Brown. So a big New England football family. And so George Pine II loaned us his father's Providence steamroller uniform from the 30s. So that's a pretty special artifact. Plus, you know, Harvard and Yale have had some have some history you might have heard about, and we have some stuff from that great classic rivalry.
What about
simply
Tufts?
Known as the game? There's a reference to Tufts in there
because some believe that Tufts played the first ever football game.
That's correct.
Even though Princeton tries to steal the glory,
that's right. Tufts claims that Harvard and Tufts played the first collegiate football game. That is up for debate, but there is a reference to that.
What do you mean by reference? Sounds like comma and Tufts.
No, there's something
about... How about an Annie Hart interactive exhibit? Measure your head
now,
size.
Isn't there
Annie
a place...
Hart.
Hey.
Or is forever 40 time when he did
isn't
the combine
there
workout.
A place where 40. High schools can go look up their stuff?
Yes. And I was going to
get... That's probably
that.
Be
thank
pretty
for
thrilling
asking.
For a high school kid. Yeah.
I want to go look up Andy Hart. Where can I find me?
Well, someone from your high school would have had to enter you in. What we did was we have...
I'll do it. 1,000 yards, 5 straight years.
We have a wall of champions.
Polk High football.
And this is really the brainchild. Well, the whole place is obviously the brainchild of the Crafts. But one of the things they insisted on was this community-based exhibit that was not Patriots-related. And part of it is our wall of champions. And the wall on that wall hangs the jerseys of every reigning high school championship team in New England,
wow,
including the 5 prep school bowl championship teams that don't really play a state championship because they play interstate games, and also the 7 regional Pop Warner champions that go down to Florida for the Pop Warner Super Bowls or whatever they call the national championships down there. So you have, I believe it's either 47 or 49 jerseys in all that hang on this wall. In front of the jerseys are 3 kiosks, and in the kiosk you can select state by state and get a history of football in that state broken down into categories: moments and milestones, traditions, rivalries, professionals, heroes, and champions. And we use freelance writers from each state to provide the content for that. People who generally cover high school football in their state and whatnot. Rich Perillo actually handled Massachusetts, Paul's brother.
Nice. You didn't give me a call. I covered high school football for 7 years.
I should have given you a call.
Damn it.
John Galluli from the Providence Journal
Of course. Yeah, I see. I see where we stand. Podunk One Socket. No one cares about us. That's okay.
And
that's a great exhibit, though. I like the sound of how
And to get to Andy's point, part of this kiosk, the last category that I didn't mention is called high schools. And you can go in and select high schools and select from any high school that plays football in New England. The information that then comes up in the kiosk will be content that has been provided by the schools themselves on our website, newenglandfootball.com. And this is a website where we have provided a web page for every high school football team in New England. And there are other sites out there that try to get high schools to update content. What we did was last winter, we did a mailing to 644 schools throughout New England, to the coach and athletic director at every school, encouraging them to register or get people within their program to register as, quote, team information managers or content managers for their respective pages. We obviously cannot maintain 640-plus high school websites. We just can't possibly keep up with that. So what we've done is try to get the high schools themselves to update the pages, and then that the content that they provide on the page is what will come up in that on the kiosk when you select a specific school. So, Andy, you go in and select Dartmouth High School. If your school has updated the page, you'll get hopefully some brief history. We did a mailing, a separate email to everyone who has registered, and we have over 300 people right now that have registered probably close just over a third of the schools.
Can I become a manager for Dartmouth?
Sure. I mean, you have to,
it might be Andy Hart heavy.
If you talk to your coach, I'll have to call and get some approval. I have to approve everyone who registers. But what it will be is, what we're looking for in that area is basically start with a brief history of your program, but then update it as frequently as you want. But certainly at the end of each season, we would want a summary of that season. So it becomes sort of an encyclopedia for every school in New England. So 10 years from now, you come in, you graduated in 2007, you walk in, you select Dartmouth High School, and you can get a history of that school. So you see in 2007, Dartmouth went 0-11, but Andy Hart was a highlight, and he rushed for for 412 yards that year on 375 carries.
Team leader, Andy Hart, 0-11.
I'm interested in seeing that wall of jerseys, though. I think that's going to be pretty cool.
So every year it's going to update when another team wins.
That's correct. And we'll have a little jersey-raising ceremony to honor the schools, bring in maybe the coach and a captain,
nice.
And have a ceremony
they're
going
to get a thrill out of that. That's fantastic to have your jersey in the hall at Patriot Place.
No question.
I can't imagine that feeling. That's
and we got, you know, obviously we had to contact all those schools, and they all, you know, were very excited about having their jersey on display. Gloucester, for example.
Pontagansett High School.
Andy Hart's Indians lost to in the Super Bowl.
There you go. The mayor of Gloucester kind of contacted us about coming down and seeing that. So it's a
some
big deal for some of these
finally.
Towns. Yeah. So you guys lost in the
Did
Super
they
Bowl.
Make a pact
I thought Dartmouth.
To come down?
Oh, wow. That's a shot.
Yes, we lost in the Super Bowl. We also lost last year in the Super Bowl to Paul Perillo's Everett High team. So Dartmouth, as of
So what did you drop down out of Division One last year? Because Everett High also won the Super Bowl.
I just said we lost to Paul Perillo's Everett High team.
Yeah, but then you said you lost to Gloucester this year.
No. When I played, we lost to Gloucester.
Oh, okay.
They weren't Division One back then.
Because Dartmouth,
like 2A or
Dartmouth
3A
won
back
it this
then.
Past year, right? They're
no,
division.
They lost to Paul Perillo's Everett High team.
Oh, my bad.
Don't you remember it was at this very stadium?
Yes.
It was a great game that went down to the wire.
I don't know why I had in my mind that Dartmouth and Everett were both champions.
Well, Rhode Island has to be easy because you only have three divisions.
There's a little more than that.
There's 2A and 2B, and then there's 3
they're
and
always,
1.
They're always dumbing it down so you can crown more champions.
Dumbing
because
it
if there was some kind of – I don't know. Fred is trying to give us some show – information here. Fred Kirsch has joined us, but he's eating a sandwich, so he probably will not chime in
because
he's stuffing his face. But we're going to be on the air every Tuesday from 4 to 5. I'll be here with Andre Tippett, typically, Andy Hart, and Mike Parenti filling in this Tuesday as Tip is down in Rhode Island at Matt Light's Celebrity Shootout to raise money for the Matt Light Foundation, which does a great job helping in this community and out, I believe, also where he's from out in Indiana as well. So I know Matt Light's brought some people out from there to attend a Patriots home game before and does a lot of work in the community. So I think he's received the hasn't he received the Ron Burton Community Award before? If not, he will soon, I'm sure, because he does do a lot of great things in the community and Tip down there helping him. So typically it will be Tip and I every Tuesday, 4 to 5. Dan, you want to take a break here? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a minute. Andy Hart, Mike Parenti, Fred Kirschel join us as well. I'm Brian Morey. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene Restaurant and Bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Revs have the lead.
England just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
Welcome back to Inside the Hall. I'm Brian Morey, Andy Hart, Mike Parenti from Patriots Football Weekly here, Fred Kirsch as well. And we got big induction weekend at the Hall next weekend, the 19th through the 21st, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Nice dinner for the Hall of Famers that Friday night. And then Saturday is a nice public event, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, induction event in the plaza. All 11 living Hall of Famers will be back on hand.
So, Brian, on this Saturday event at 3 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Anyone can go to this?
How does anyone. It work? Open How to the public.
Work? So what do you do? Just show up?
You do. We'll have 1,000 chairs set up, but there's plenty of room beyond the chairs. You have the grand staircase that goes up by CBS Scene into the main guts of Patriot Place. And so there'll be standing room.
Balcony at CBS Scene is where I'd like to plant my butt.
So what will I see? Is it going to be worth coming down if I'm like from southern New Hampshire or northern Rhode Island or something?
Well, Fred, that's a great question. Yes, it will be. I think it's going to be – we talked about this earlier about it being not your typical, say, Hall of Fame type induction where guys get up and give speeches, which would be entertaining in and of itself depending on who your favorite players are. But this is going to be more of a Q&A setting. The players will receive red blazers, similar to the gold blazers they receive out in Canton when they're inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And then they'll sit down on stools up on stage and have a Q&A with Gil Santos, who's emceeing the event, and share some anecdotes rather than sit there and give some speech about, you know, thanking people, which they'll get to do briefly, you know, and talk a little bit about their careers. But I think this is more of an opportunity to share some stories. And that goes in line with what the Hall is about. You know, we have an exhibit where the players actually just sat down and recorded stories that the fans don't typically get to hear. And I think that's going to be another entertaining element of the Hall as well.
Vito Babe Parilli will be in attendance, correct?
He will be.
Could you make sure
Kentucky
that they discuss the fact that his career not only includes quarterback of the New England Patriots, to which he owned a lot of records before, you know, the Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady era came through, but also coached under him, Bill Belichick.
Under Babe Parilli?
Worked under Babe Parilli.
That's where? True.
And Vito Babe,
I didn't know Denver.
I believe.
Yeah.
And Vito Babe Parilli, one of the nicest men I've ever spoken with on the phone. I've never met him, but
I did
very
meet
nice
him.
Man.
He actually was here last year when Brady broke his record. And we had him in. Actually, we had him in to do the tape recording for the Hall. But while he was here, Brady came and met him. And Bill Belichick heard he was in the house and said, oh, definitely bring him by, you know, because you never know when he has time. And, you know, he definitely took time out of his day to.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely took time out of his day to say hello to Babe and catch up and
so
all that.
So maybe you can get a Babe Parilli story during this little Q&A?
Oh, no question.
Sort of coming full circle. He was a player and he knows Bill,
franchise.
Now, is the Hall going to be open on that day?
The Hall is not open to the public that day. We talked about that earlier. It'll be the ceremony is open to the public. Again, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be some seating available, but there'll also be plenty of standing room. But the Hall will be closed to the public after the event.
But there's plenty alumni, of other things open at Patriot Place.
Of course there is. CBS is open. You got.
I'm telling you, that balcony at CBS Scene, I'd be chewing on a Kobe beef burger listening to Babe Parilli talk.
That's right. Yep. You got, plenty to do. Obviously, you go up to Davio's.
Right.
And
now, when does the Hall open for the public?
September 22nd, Fred.
September.
Or you could listen to the first half of this show.
Well, I'm just somebody
might
have
reset. He can reset.
Ask him about the Adam Vinatieri exhibit. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, I hear there's a geodesic dome.
There is a geodesic dome. Yes.
It was Fred's idea, I think, actually.
Everything in the hall was my idea.
Now, how big is the dome?
Just ask Fred.
How big is the dome where this kick takes place?
I think you could fit comfortably like 4 or 5 people in
it. Yeah,
it's about me.
It's a peninsula.
Oh, that's. I think it's about the size of your head. So all you'd be able to do is stick your head in, and the rest of your body would have to stand out.
But you better wear a winter hat because it's going to be cold in there.
That's the thing I'm honestly most excited about.
I'm worried about this show here. Brian's trying to kick off his show Inside the Hall with Andre Tippett, and I'm not sure that the audience for his show is the same as ours. So people listening to this show may not understand that you have the head the size of Jupiter. You know, so those inside jokes may go over other people's heads.
It's not PFW in progress humor.
They actually have a cultured audience for this. This is Inside the Hall.
Well, they also came expecting to hear Andre Tippett. They don't get everything they want on the first day.
He will be here.
Well, Tip had a charity event to go to. I mean, we have to excuse him for that. He's raising money for the community with the Matt Light Foundation.
So what are you going to do on the show going forward?
Well, we're going to have some alumni on. We're going to talk some Patriots history. I think we'll get a lot of good stories here on the show. I think when Tip has teammates, when we have teammates on as guests, you know, I'll just sit back and let them take over because that to me is the highly entertaining stuff. It's basically, I think, the show is Inside the Hall, Fred, and I think it's going to tease you for some of the elements that you actually get when you step inside the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon.
I also think you guys should talk about the, you know, because you're always asking for donations to the hall, you know, people
that
have stuff. I think you should get into the sports memorabilia issue and talk about, you know, what's hot on the market and maybe interview some guys that are experts in the field. And then if, you know, Patriots fans have stuff that they want to call in, you know, or email in, maybe you can have your expert on and say, oh, you know, that's a good item, hold on to it, or it's an item that you should definitely make available to the hall or whatever. But I think you should talk about sports memorabilia because that's a lot about what the hall is.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Fred, because we actually have a nonprofit wing of the hall. It's a separate entity called the New England Football Foundation. And the purpose of that foundation is so that people that want to donate memorabilia to the hall can do so and get a tax deduction. It's a 501c3, nonprofit. And so you can donate your items to the hall at Patriot Place for display within our artifact cases and get a tax deduction for the donation. We also accept items on loan. As I mentioned earlier, Doug Flutie's Heisman Trophy is on loan, as is the Providence Steamroller uniform loaned by the Pine family.
I donated like 5 boxes of game day programs. I did not get a tax deduction.
Did you own those game day programs?
What do you mean by own? When I was the editor of the game day program in 2001, I saved a few.
And you donated them to the hall?
Yeah, I gave them to Brent, your boy. Well, can I get a slip that says I get $500 off my taxes?
I don't know if they're worth $500.
It was a commemorative season, you know. Great moments in Foxborough Stadium history. The covers, good covers. Whoever came up with those covers, brilliant man.
Must have been Fred. Comes up with all the good ideas around
here.
Comes up with all the good ideas around here, apparently. But, you know, I think that, and Mike, when we went to break, you asked about the induction process. And this past year was the second year of the modern induction process in which 25 media members as well as some alumni, Steve Grogan, even Ernie Adams, who coached here under Chuck Fairbanks in the 70s before returning with Bill Belichick in 2000, is on that committee as well. I think Steve Nelson is there. Tippett is on that committee. So it's a good mix of media and players and a coach.
Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo.
Fred Kirsch is not on the committee, I don't believe. I don't believe he's a voting member of the committee.
Yes, I am.
You are? I knew Paul was. He represents Patriots Football Weekly, right?
Well, my question was...
He doesn't represent Patriots.com radio or his other media whore entities.
My question was, how early do you start the process for the 2009 class?
We usually have the gathering of the committee in March or April. The way that the committee then nominates, members of the committee nominate players or coaches for that matter. Then each member of the committee writes down their top 3 choices, and the top 3 point getters among the committee become the finalists for Hall of Fame induction. And then fans decide among those 3 who will be the Hall of Fame enshrinee via voting at Patriots.com.
And I think it's a good system. Stacey James basically came up with it.
That wasn't your idea?
Well, no, I approved it, but no, it's, I think it's a good system because the committee is really has a good cross section of people. It's got a lot of the old time beat writers. It's got a lot of people from TV, radio, other, you know, other people. So, you know, there was always that fear that the old guys might get left off and not remembered. I don't think with the committee as it exists today, you have that problem.
No, and I think, but it is a challenge with the fans, I do think. But, you know, this year's finalists, you had only one modern day, so to speak, player, one player from, say, the Kraft era as a finalist, and he was the one inducted. But I think that Ben Coates...
But I think he should have been.
Right, he was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
No, he was a no-brainer. I agree 100%. That said, you know, I mean, you know, John Morris is a guy that probably a lot of people don't remember, and that's something that, you know, that's where, you know, we maybe depend on the media a little bit to get the word out, because John Morris, according to Ron Hobson, who covered the team from day one, you know, was arguably the best center in Patriots history.
But even if John
Morris,
does
that say?
But even though he didn't get in, and even if he never gets in as a finalist, I think it's good that he's just talked about and he's
absolutely.
Among the five. I had never heard of him, I'll be honest, until the process came about, and then I started reading his bio, and he was like a 9-time All-AFL/All-Pro or Pro Bowl or whatever, All-Star. That's good. I mean, you're learning something just in that as you go online
right.
for the three candidates and place your vote for. Even if you're a Ben Coates fan and in the end you vote for Ben Coates, you learned about John Morris and who he is.
Well, and you know, and Ron Burton was the other finalist this year, and you know, Ron Burton has passed on, but not Ron, was it? No, I'm sorry. Not Ron Burton. Jim Nance, my bad. He also has passed on, but Jim Nance, and when his daughter Rachel found out that he was a finalist, she cried. I mean, she was very emotional about the fact that her father was being remembered in that way. And I think that Jim Nance could be a Patriots Hall of Famer someday. You know, you go back and you watch video, and you can do this at the Hall. There's plenty of video. You go back and you watch him run, and, I mean, he ran over people. You want to talk about your classic between the tackles runner. I mean, this guy was a monster.
Well, he'll probably be nominated again because you think about it for next year, 09.
Ron Burton, by the way, was a finalist 2 years ago.
Right. There's no one that wasn't eligible last year that really – who is eligible this year that would be nominated. You know what I mean? There's
yeah.
no one that quit 4 years ago.
Quit?
Well, yeah, quit the game 4 years ago that
retired,
you know,
is general.
You would nominate.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think not at this point. I mean, I
right.
think when you look, you know, it's going to be wide open. There's going to be some guys to think about, some guys that didn't spend their whole careers here. I mean, like, for example, Irving Fryer was nominated, I mean, was honored this year by the Sports Museum at the Tradition event. And he's a guy that you look at, you say, gee, he was a great player here for a relatively short time and then went on and really – had a strong
right.
career after his Patriots playing days. That's one of those guys that I think there'll be some great debate about whether he should be a Patriots Hall of Famer.
Right.
Did he do enough while he was a New England Patriot?
But what I'm saying is if you were kind of a leading candidate on a year that Ben Coates got in, there's always probably going to be a window for you at some point because we're only talking about Patriots.
And there's only one a year going in.
Right, and we're not talking about like every NFL team. So I think there's going to be plenty of windows even when the Bledsoes and the Bradys and all those guys become eligible in between for other guys to get back on the nomination sheet.
Yeah, no, I agree, Fred. I think when you look back and you see guys like Morris or Larry Eisenhower or, you know, players from the 60s and early 70s that maybe, you know, fans will learn about, as Andy said.
Well, I would like people to start considering contributors or coaches. I think there's some of those that haven't necessarily gotten their due in the first
Well, coaches are always eligible in the
No,
same
I know,
ballot.
But that's my – you say no new guys become available, but there may be some guys – you know, Andre Tippett
Chuck
was available
Fairbanks
for the
name
pro
has
football.
Already been thrown in.
But that's what
yeah.
I mean. But
yeah.
like
I nominated
like,
him.
Yeah.
Andre Tippett was available for the Pro Football Hall of Fame for whatever it was, 14 years before he suddenly became
no,
a
I know,
finalist
but,
in Hall
but
of Fame.
But remember, you're go there you're going against – all the other pros.
No, I know, but
here just
Fairbanks
to...
is a guy in my mind. He's a Patriots Hall of Famer for what he did to build
and
this team in the middle of the 70s.
I think eventually he will Hall get in. His
Raymond
time
Berry
will
for his coaching job and taking his team to its
that.
First Super Bowl and listening to how much those players loved
right,
him.
Right, but I don't know about that.
Well, I think that when you talk to the
and that's
players,
what kind of makes it cool is you have a debate.
Yes. And that's what will make this
but
show cool because if Tip was here, he'd be able
Hall...
to comment on that.
Right. He'd kick your butt and put Ray... Barry in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think one season gets you into the Hall of Fame.
But I think when you look at the coaches, Chuck Fairbanks, you know, people in this era revered Bill Parcells for the turnaround he guided this team to. I think Chuck Fairbanks was Bill Parcells before Bill Parcells.
First of all, he was way better. If you go look at the drafts and the things he did, he brought Hall of Famers in here. You look at those drafts and then say Chuck Fairbanks is not a Hall of Famer, I don't know what you're looking at for the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Well, and he also had great success. I mean, that 1976 team, many believe, was one of the greatest teams of all time. Now, it's hard to make that argument because the Patriots have won three Super Bowls in this decade. But that Patriots team in 76.
It was talent-laden.
And you know, I mean,
he
obviously
brought the talent.
I know. That's what brought the talent.
And they lost on a controversial call.
And, oh, by the way, the 3-4 defense that everybody raves about that Bill Belichick runs, Chuck Fairbanks defense that he stole from Oklahoma. But Chuck Fairbanks brought it to New England.
Right.
And Coach Belichick and Ernie Adams will tell you that, you know, there are plenty of elements of that defense.
When Bill Parcells left New England and brought the defense to New York, he photocopied the playbook, scratched out Patriots, and wrote Giants.
Yeah.
That's Chuck Fairbanks defense that has made its way through the 80s in New York with the Jets, then the Patriots.
But,
Bill Belichick took it and made it his own, but it's the defense.
But Bill
it's
Belichick
3-4.
Also added some elements from Joe Collier. Well,
Bud Wilkinson is the guy that really...
Right. It's Bud Wilkinson's defense from the days he was cheating and winning at Oklahoma 48 straight.
See now.
I'm just saying. The guy had a drawer with money in it from his oil people. He paid players. It was professional football at the college
level.
They
all did back then.
But anyway, my point here is as we get off track is Chuck Fairbanks. There's guys that names haven't made it to the voting process on Patriots.com yet, who in my mind are worthy.
And you also mentioned contributors, and I don't know if they figured out the process for that yet. But the Hall is going to be also a great way to recognize those people who have contributed, not in coaching but in playing, but other ways to the organization.
And you know, I think that moving forward,
Paul Perillo,
Edie.
Eddie Mac. I think moving forward, you know,
maybe I'll just drink to get drunk.
How did you get him to do that? Or is that Fred imitating him? I think when you, as we move forward to, you know, this is not a place, as I mentioned earlier, guys, that will be static. And we could eventually evolve into add an element to our New England football exhibit. Where we're honoring, you know, non-Patriot people that have made significant contributions to New England football.
Yeah.
You know, like a
lot of great high school coaches in this region that, you know, 25, 30 years at a high school that deserve some recognition.
Right. Armand Colombo.
And the MIAA has a Hall of Fame already, but, you know, I think it's...
That's just for Massachusetts.
Right. Exactly. His son is now the coach. As a matter of fact, our education coordinator,
son?
Armand Colombo,
is
the coach at Brockton High.
Really?
It was passed on.
That's great.
From generation to generation. And our education coordinator, Paul Carroll, is the assistant coach at BC High.
Well, speaking
they play Brockton this week.
You only have about 5 minutes, but the other part of the Hall that I don't know if you've talked about is the education component. And you are looking at groups, right?
Yes, we did talk
about
that.
You want groups.
Yeah,
well, absolutely. I was thinking on the radio show, any group that books ahead of time is allowed to send in a question to be answered by Andre Tippett. So you can say, you know, we're having the Plymouth eighth grade coming in next week, and here's their question for Andre Tippett, and they can hear it on the show and give them a reason to tune into the show.
That's a good idea.
You know, kind of.
Especially because our show is on after school time.
Yeah.
So they can go
home. They can always download it.
That's true.
It's a downloadable show.
Oh, this is on – they have a podcast? Is that what
you call
that? Of course.
All our content is downloadable.
Where's that Hall of Famer
Hannah
awesome. When you need him?
That's great, Fred. That's a great idea.
You know, so kind of
– another great idea from Fred
weave
Kirsch.
Weave in the show with their visit.
No, absolutely. You know? And I think that we do want to – when groups come in to visit, we do want to have an element of interaction
you might
before
even
and after.
Somebody from the school as a guest. Call them up. Put them on the show.
Maybe after
the
their
hall
visit.
In progress.
After their visit.
After their visit.
Yeah.
All righty. I think that's going to do it for us. Next Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Andre Tippett in the house. We will be here. I'll be here. Andre Tippett will be here. We'll get rid of these PFW guys. But we do thank you guys for filling in. Mike Parenti.
No problem.
Andy Hart.
No problem.
Fred S. Kirsch, the idea man. Until next Tuesday, I'm Brian Morey. We'll see you.